presentation of part of my work at this nice conference. I will talk about a mechanism for asymptotic safety in chiral power systems, which is work that I do in collaboration with Volker Gies, who's also sitting in the audience, and Stefan Rechenberger, who stays bravely home in Vienna, continuing our computations and extending our work. So we should also get some credits for that. I will skip the outline, then we can start the discussion session a little bit earlier, and immediately go to my first slide. As we have seen at this conference already, asymptotic safety scenarios may be discussed in the framework of quantum gravity, a suitable theory for quantum gravity. And recently there has, in the last 10 years, there has been a strong support of this scenario thanks to new techniques, as we learned not only in non-perturbative quantum field theory, but also with new techniques in perturbative field theory, as we heard in the talk of Professor Walter Max Niedermeyer, for example. But the asymptotic safety scenario is also is more general and does not only apply to quantum gravity. It can also apply to any other quantum field theory which has problems with non-renormalizability. And one candidate for such a theory which might be where we might learn something about in the light of asymptotic safety is the standard model of particle physics. There we know two problems which are often cited. This is the triviality problem and the hierarchy problem. And there is a chance, at least, that both of these problems might be solved within the asymptotic safety scenario. Actually, I will not discuss the full standard model, but I will show a toy model for the standard model and investigate a class of particular chiral power systems to investigate this possibility of asymptotic safety. But before I start with the discussion of that, let me lay out the problems, however shortly. Let's discuss the problem of triviality. There we have the Higgs field, which can be parametrized, for example, by one component real scalar field with a Frydenberg margin, like I show it here. And when we compute the one loop correction to this, the four boson vertex, we get a relation between the renormalized four boson coupling and the bare four boson coupling at some cutoff scale lambda. And whenever we want to have a non-vanishing scattering in the infrared, so a renormalized four boson coupling, we run into a lambda pole. That means that the bare four boson coupling diverges at a finite UV scale, which is known as the lambda pole. What does that tell us? It tells us that perturbative quantum field theory, this is a perturbative computation, tells us that perturbative quantum field theory breaks down at some point, and we now have to ask whether we have to introduce new degrees of freedom or what we can do. And the lesson is, we do not quite yet have to introduce new degrees of freedom because we know that perturbation theory relies on an expansion around zero coupling, and as we run into a pole, we know that at some point just perturbation theory will lose its validity since the coupling grows arbitrarily large. So what we would have to do is we need a non-perturbative tool to investigate this scenario and tell whether the triviality problem persists or not. For Phi-40 theory, we know from, for example, lattice simulations that it's very probable that this problem persists. But when we take into account fermions, we do not know actually yet what happens. The hierarchy problem is a problem that we observe a huge hierarchy in the standard model. It means we have an electroweak scale of the order of 10 to the 2 GeV and a grand unified scale of about 10 to the 16 GeV. And now we know that the Higgs mass or boson mass renormalizes quadratically in a perturbative scheme. And we have this relation between the renormalized mass and the bare mass, And as we know, the renormalized mass is of the order squared of the electroweak scale, and we have a quadratical renormalization, then we get a for the bare mass, a scale of 10 to the 32 GeV squared, and this accounts for a counterterm of the same order and an incredible fine-tuning of about 10 to the minus 28. We believe that this is rather unnatural, and there's a chance also within the asymptotic safety scenario that we can solve this problem, because a hierarchy problem corresponds to the existence of a large critical exponent at a fixed point. And here in this scenario, we we investigated the Gaussian fixed point where the critical exponent is 2, and this is large and accounts for the quadratical renormalization. But at a possibly non-Gaussian fixed point, this could be quite different, and we have to compute the critical exponents. Actually, we can't say from the first place what comes out. So when I want to employ a non-perturbative schema, I also have to tell which kind of schema I want to employ. And in my work, I'm using functional renormalization group equations. I write them down once again because actually not everybody in your audience is using them. So here they are once again. With these, or with this equation, which is exact at this place, we can plug in an ansatz, which we call truncation, usually in expansion in terms of operators and associated couplings. And this gives a receipt to compute beta functions for the different couplings. And if we find in these beta functions a non-Gaussian fixed point, we can linearize the beta functions with the stability matrix, which I show here, and compute the critical exponents, which we would be interested in as we find fixed point. And the critical exponents of this linearized equation has this solution with the critical exponents here. And from this solution, we can see that if the real part of the critical exponent is larger than zero, this accounts for a relevant coupling, which would be a parameter which has to be fixed by experiment. Or if the real part is smaller than zero, we have an irrelevant coupling, which would be, and this is very interesting in the system I'm investigating, a prediction of a physical observable. I plotted this in theory space. I go through this very, very quick. I plotted here three directions of possible field operators with their associated couplings. With the flow equation, I can compute G steps on different, so go from one scale to a different scale. If I have a fixed point, I observe in blue the relevant directions and the irrelevant directions in green. I define the critical surface by the relevant directions. And finally, I want to flow with the relevant directions from the fixed point to some infrared action. So how would the triviality and the hierarchy problem look in the asymptotic safety scenario? First, I give a short definition, which probably all of you already know from the conference already and before. The dimension of the critical surface is the number of the relevant direction. As long as it is finite, we have a predictive theory. If a non-Gaussian fixed point actually exists, we can draw the limit of the cutoff to infinity, and the system is independent from the UV cutoff. This, by construction, solves the triviality problem because the UV limit is well defined. And if the dimension of the critical surface is finite, the system is predictive. And only a finite number of parameters has to be fixed by experiment. And a hierarchy problem is connected to large critical exponents. And this is what we have to compute, actually. So let me now come to the system I'm investigating. This is, as I said, a Cairo-Yukawa system. We employ as a systematic ansatz a derivative expansion to leading order, and what we show in the following. And in this system, I have a number NL of left-handed fermions, numbered with the index small a. I have one right-handed fermion, so I employ a particular asymmetry between the left and right-handed part, which is also in a similar way realized in the standard model. For the Yukawa coupling, I also introduce a number of NL complex bosons. And this theory is then invariant under this class of chiral transformations. To proceed and to define the last function which I have in here, I define my parameter rho, which is phi dagger phi, and I introduce dimensionless quantities for the investigation of the fixed point. And this effective potential for the bosons I want to investigate in the regime with spontaneously broken symmetry. We actually also investigated in the symmetric case, which does not give us fixed point, which we cannot mathematically prove, but we can almost prove it. So in the regime of spontaneously broken symmetry, we expand the effective potential in a Mexican hat-like form, which is quite usual, but we not only take into account up to 4 boson coupling, but also higher couplings, actually up to order 6 in Bo, which would be order 12 in the fields. And we have constraints on the parameters, the kappa, which is the squared dimensionless vacuum expectation value, process to be larger than 0. The largest interaction term here has to be larger than 0, that the potential is bounded from below. And also the 4 boson coupling, which is the lambda 2, has to be larger than 0 because we want to expand around the minimum. Before we actually compute something, we can also tell something about the structure of the flow equations. Let's look at the flow of the squared dimensionless vacuum expectation value. It starts with a dimensionful with a term that comes from the dimension of the vacuum expectation value, a minus 2. Then let me first skip to this last part. The fermionic interactions come with a negative sign, and the bosonic interactions come with a positive sign. So I can show this. What we are actually looking for is a zero of this beta function. If I drop the interaction terms, I see this solid line here going through the Gaussian fixed point where kappa is zero. If I could turn on the fermionic interactions, I am pulled to this negative side, and the fixed point would be at a negative kappa, which would be unphysical. So I have also to put on turn on the bosonic interactions, which pushes me on the can push me on the positive side if they are only strong enough. And if there is a suitable kappa dependence of the interaction terms, I can even get a flattening of the curve, and the slope of the curve at the zero is actually a critical exponent, and if this is flat enough, then I can reduce the hierarchy problem. Yes, that's what I want. And if this is zero, this what I want to refer to the talk of polarities, which has already been given, then the VEF exhibits a conformal behavior. So we see from this last picture that whether or not a fixed point can appear in the system crucially depends on the degrees of freedom I put into the game. So we have to find out what is necessary to make this fixed point possible, and therefore we investigate our system. Leading order truncation can be parametrized by, for example, free couplings just to begin the investigations. This would be the Yukawa coupling, a 4 boson coupling, and the dimensionless vacuum expectation value. So, very simple system, parameters, I can look for fixed points. I start with only these two, can formulate a conditional fixed point for the third equation, and then I get this picture again, which I want to show in a pictorial representation. I get the running from the dimension. I get, I skip again first bosonic loop. I get a fermionic loop, which internal structure is by the Yukawa coupling determined by the boson which is coming in, which if with an index A, then the fermion here has also have to have an index A. So this is a loop with a determined internal structure. However, this loop does not have this determined internal structure. When I run in it with a field with index A, here all the fields can run around in the loop. So this is why I get a factor of NL, the number of my left-handed fermions. This is actually a construction to have a control parameter that can make it possible to have a zero for the whole equation. And we can compute this, of course, with the I show the fixed points in as a function of the left-handed fermions. We find fixed points between 1 and 57 for the left-handed fermion number. From 4 on, we even find two fixed points, and those have also different properties, those fixed points. More interesting than the fixed points themselves are, of course, the critical exponents. And there it's very interesting to see that here I show the three critical exponents that we have in for both fixed points, which I divide distinguish with the colors blue and red. I have a positive critical exponent, then I have a negative critical exponent for both of them, and then I have one fixed point with a positive, small positive, or a negative critical exponent. So in order to give some feeling for what we have done, I also want to investigate a particular choice of the left-handed fermion number, which is 10. We chose the 10 because this is numerically particularly stable, and we do not claim that we have an asymptotically safe standard model, but we want to investigate and learn about the system. So we also expanded the effective potential up to order lambda 2, so the 4 boson coupling, but included higher orders, and investigated the conversions of the fixed point potential in this leading order potential, which is quite nice here, as we go to higher orders in the effective potential. And we compute the fixed point, but more interestingly, the critical exponents, which I show here, we get one positive, which is around 1, which is already much smaller than, well, not much smaller, but it's smaller than 2, which would be the quadratical renormalization from the hierarchy problem. So the hierarchy problem is slightly weaker than before. And then we get two negative exponents, which corresponds to two parameters which we can predict. And what this prediction would look like, I want also to show. The flow can now be fixed by one parameter, for example, the infrared value of the squared dimensionless vacuum expectation value, which in a realistic model would correspond to the red, which can be determined from the ratio of the Z and W boson masses. And the infrared values of the other two parameters, namely the 4 boson coupling and the Yukawa coupling, are connected to the toy Higgs mass and the toy top mass. And we choose 246 for the vacuum expectation value. We solve the flows and we get predictions for the Higgs mass. This is not so bad, actually, but the top mass is way too large, of course. But as this is a toy model, we would not have expected to get the right top mass. So now I come to the conclusions. In the present theory, we reveal the possible mechanism for asymptotic safety for the standard model, which would, of course, which is investigated further now. We also found some difficulties, which I did not talk until now. Next to leading order in the derivative expansion, the equations get additional terms, and we were not able to recover the fixed point. So, but as the equations are very nonlinear, we had to use for this next to leading order a numerical routine, and so we cannot decide by now, but it's possible that the fixed point is destabilized at this order. But also we have in the system, which is not very typical for the standard model, massless Goldstone fluctuations and fermion fluctuations, and we would have to control them further. This is in the next step, we also want to introduce gauge degrees of freedom, But we investigated also a simple set-two symmetric Yukawa model, very close to the one which Gianpaolo Wacca was presenting in the talk before, but without the interaction with the gravitational field, of course. And there we observed that also the next two leading order works quite fine. This is interesting because in this model we don't have Goldstone fluctuations, but there's another problem. We only find the balancing of the bosonic and fermionic loops at a Lever number which is smaller than one, which is also not very realistic. So as I said, there can also be, for this model, gravitational effects included. And, well, we work on a system with gauge bosons. So, and as a last remark, which I did not put on the slides, I want to emphasize that maybe only if we put in this setup the correct degrees of freedom, maybe only then it works out, which would be a very, very strong statement, because that would say that, well, in a way, nature would have, if nature is organized like a quantum field theory, this would have been the only possibility to work out with asymptotic safety. So then, thanks for your attention, and we can switch to.
Two questions. One first question, since you went up to N equals CT7, did you check that the results, your results, are consistent with the exact solution format? Because for large N, you can solve your problem exactly, and therefore you can check whether for. I mean, N equals CT7 is quite close now to N equals infinity.
This would correspond to the. We can look at the critical exponents, and from the critical exponents, I think you can see if this is actually corresponding to the.
No, you cannot say there's no fixed point anymore, but at least you can check whether the result you get for N that large are consistent with the exact solution for N equal infinity. The second is, would have been nice to write down the beta function, the perturbative beta function, just to have a look what happens for small copy.
Ah, okay. Well, I decided not to write the beta functions down explicitly because they are rather large. So,
perhaps one comment: this n is just one sort of fermion. So even if you take this as large, there's only one right-handed fermion. So large. There is no large n exact solution in that system. So one n is always equal to one.
But well, at least you solve partially.
It's partially.
It would be nice to.
Yeah.
You discuss this symmetry breaking term, this vacuum.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that you have used this beta function, but have you tried to just solve the partial differential equation down to k equals 0, starting your flow and see what is the difference?
Yeah, we would have to use a starting point for this flow. We need a point where we start the flow.
Yes, and start the same.
We start at the fixed point and we flow down. This is how we get our predictions for the top and fixed mass. So
yeah, but
this is what we did.
I understand. We did with the beta function. I'm telling you, if you try to do just run the flow equation, the partial differential equation.
You mean it in order to run into a fixed point, possibly?
Without truncation.
Without polynomial expansion. Just
no, we did not do that.
Why? We know that in a spontaneous broken theory, it is essential not to have to do the beta function to get to recover the correct broken phase. It's absolutely essential.
You say why?
Maybe I have a comment. Because that fixed potential you have doesn't recover the flatness of the, this is what Alfio means. I mean, the flatness of the symmetry broken phase. Mm-hmm. So you get the maxwell construction if you run from your ultraviolet the potential down to k equal to 0, which of course you don't have if you have a truncation, and in fact you have a potential which converges to that.
Yeah.
I think this is what he meant.
Just saying that one can try, at least try.
That's easy to do, but it's irrelevant here, because what is of interest are the curvature to the outer side, and that gives us the prediction for the mass. So the flatness, I mean, it occurs...
No, I'm not talking about the flatness. I was talking about the hierarchy of problem. Then you might have a different, you might get a different solution at the end for the hierarchy problem, because it will be different. Mm-hmm.
No, but in this case, since we always are in the floating phase, and we always have this path, the expansion is pretty good. I mean, that's exactly what we checked. Actually, there are many problems where you need the full potential, and if you need it, just do it. But here it's fine.
Other questions? Well, if not, we thank the speaker again, and now we switch to the